Hi, I'm Michael. I'm one of the pastors at Victory, and I'm also the missions director. As a church, we are committed to answer God's call to reach every nation. I hope this message inspires you to honor God and make disciples.
We are starting the year believing God for breakthroughs. We started it by prayer and fasting for those of you who joined us. But even if you did not, we all know that we normally begin the year by setting our faith goals, and rightfully so, because God is, as we say, is a big God. He is a majestic God, meaning He's powerful. His authority is unparalleled. But what do we mean when we say we believe in God? That's what we're going to talk about today. We are still in our Abide series, and we have been talking about what does God's Word do to us. And we will still dive and talk about a spiritual truth, what the Word of God does to us. And after that, we'll talk about some of its implication. But why don't we start kind of light now? You know, I was Googling it, and I normally do that beginning of the year. And I was looking at the top 5 or top 10 goals of people worldwide. And I realized there's this campaign called New Year, New You 2022. And I just got the top 5 New Year, New You goals. So, hey, top one is a classic. It is very familiar. And I would have this on my list as well. Lose weight, change diet, eat less, exercise. Yeah, classic yan. Sabi nga nila, di ba? By mid-February, survey, normally, worldwide, bumabagsak na yung effort and passion dyan. Oh, top two, spend more time with family and friends. Oh, tama naman yun, di ba? It's good. Top three, what do you think is top three? And this has something to do with the pandemic. Okay, top three, it's about wellness. Prioritize mental, emotional, physical wellness. Top four. This is also a classic. Parating nasa listahan to. New Year's resolution. Fourth, has something to do with finances. Earn more, save more, spend less. And I think we totally agree. It's something to agree on it mentally, but doing it in actuality is another challenge, di ba? Top five is quite unique. Unique to. I captured it exactly. Wala akong dinagdag, wala akong binawas dito. Top five. Fascinating for me. Top five. It's a New Year, New You worldwide goal. Here it is. Give yourself and your workspace a cool makeover. I didn't add the word cool there. Ha? Talagang eksakto. Yan yung nakalagay. Well, of course, sabi nga natin, diba, we're making it light, and there's nothing really wrong with this list in and of themselves. But if we really want a better year, ito ba talaga yung top five dapat? Many of us are thinking, oh, we want to grow in the different facets of our life. But if we really want a better year, I think when we speak of the implication of God's Word to our lives, it would be on our top list. So that's what we are going to talk about. So open your Bibles to John 6. John 6. We'll read starting with verse 48, and then we'll jump to verses 51, and we'll read up to verse 69. John 6. Starting with verse 48, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Verse 51, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever.
and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Well, they were disputing because they somehow understood this fact, and they were thinking, how can this son of a carpenter be involved in something that has flesh? He's a carpenter and he doesn't deal with animals. So we move on. Verse 53. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood, we repeated, abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. Now this is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. When many of the disciples heard it, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. And he said, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away as well? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. This is the word of the Lord. Why don't we just pause for a few seconds and just thank God for his word? We'll talk about a spiritual truth of what God's word, what does it do to us? God's word, what God's word does to us. And we'll speak of its implication. And we'll dive into what believing in Jesus really, truly means. But let's go back a bit and check on the context to help us. Remember, John was very clear. The gospel writer, John, was very clear in the purpose of his writing. That's why in John 20, he said, and truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ or the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may find life in his name. John's main goal was to prove that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and so that people will believe in him, and that by believing, we, the readers of it, would find life in his name. But it was not only John's goal. Jesus himself declared and did things as the Son of God. He wasn't apologetic. He wasn't even embarrassed by it, but he was so daring, and again, in doing and declaring things as the Son of God. In the beginning of the gospel account in John 5, after Jesus healed a man invalid for 38 years, the enemies of Jesus Christ who witnessed that miracle were so angered by what Jesus did and said to the point that they wanted to kill him. And you'll find that in verses John 5, verses 17 to 18. Because Jesus said, "Today, my Father is working, and so am I." I mean, they got so frustrated and mad at Jesus because verse 18 says, Jesus was making himself equal to God. In the middle, of this gospel account, we find Jesus in John 10 saying, "I and the Father are one." He wasn't apologetic. Towards the end of this gospel account, Jesus was confronted with Pilate. And this was Pilate who himself said in that same chapter, John 18, to Jesus Christ, he said, "Do you know that I have the power to free you from this? I have the power to free you from crucifixion and death." And so Pilate asked Jesus a $1 million question to the point that in a snap of a finger, he could have been freed from his passion and death. Pilate asked Jesus in John 18, "So, they're saying you are a king." I'm paraphrasing it. And then Pilate said, "So, are you a king then?" And this was the audacious answer of Jesus to that question. "It is for this reason that I was born and have come into this world." It was like a drop the mic moment. If I were there, that's how I would have imagined it. Jesus never denied that he was the Son of God. In fact, the whole half of the narrative, the gospel account of John, Jesus declared that he is the great I Am. I mean, in the Old Testament, people knew that the God Most High, creator of the heavens and the earth, this majestic God, when he introduced himself to Moses, he called himself, "I am who I am." And then here comes the bold Son of God telling people that, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the door of the sheep." And in this, now, going back to the narrative, the passage that we are going to talk about, in verse 48, as we read, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." Now, what Jesus meant was that bread was their staple food. And we understand this. We've heard of this this in exhortations and in preachings. So we understand that what Jesus meant, that is that we need him in order for us to live. No wonder he said in John 3:16, quite famous for us, "For eternal life, you need me. You need to believe in me." In John 10:10, he says it as well. For you to have a full or abundant life, you need me to live. So this is Jesus, the living word. Remember, 2 weeks ago, we talked about it in our preaching. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So in this circumstance, Jesus, as the living word telling us that we need him to live, also meant that we need the written word of God to live. Wait, Pastor, what do you mean? Jesus, yes, I get it, the living word, we need him to live. But what does that have to do with the written word of God? Here's the thing. The written word speaks of the living word. In the Old Testament, we know that everything about it is anticipating the coming of the Messiah, the King, the Lord, the Savior, the Son of God, the Old Testament. And when we look at the New Testament, starting with the Gospels, it is the recording of the life, the death, the resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. The letters after the Gospels, the letters of Paul and Peter and James and John, refer to the implications of the life, death, resurrection, ascension of Jesus Christ. And even the last book of the Bible called Revelation speaks of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ as King over all. So the written word, again, speaks of the living word. Therefore, this is our spiritual truth for today. What does God's word do to us? God's word nourishes us. Again, God's word nourishes us. God's word is necessary for us to live the way God intended us to live. You know, it's important that we understand that the word of God is necessary for us, again, to live the way God intended it. Not for us to live the way we've imagined it through our dreams and aspirations. It's not about living the way we've set our yearly career, business, health, finance goals. While all those things are true, what we're saying is that God's word is necessary for us to live the way God purposed us to live. And so we live now by feeding on Jesus. And when we read scripture, Jesus was just saying it again and again and again just to prove that point. We live by feeding on Him. But this also means, as we read the account, that quite lengthy, we read it a while ago, another way to say that for us to live is to feed on Jesus, it also is the same thing as us being able to live when we believe in Him. Remember, when we feed on Jesus, His flesh and blood, we live. Jesus also said, when we believe in Him, we live. So feeding on Jesus also means, it's the same thing as believing in Jesus. Both will make us live. Therefore, as we said earlier, what does it mean now to believe in Jesus? Now, Jesus used metaphors to help people understand His will, His word, and His ways. And as we read in our passage today, He used a hard metaphor, a controversial one at that, to the point that the Jews disputed it, and we find it in verse 52. We read it in verse 52, and the disciples themselves said in verse 60 that this is a hard teaching, Jesus. And in verse 66, it was so hard that some of the disciples turned their backs on Him and did not follow Him anymore. So what was Jesus wanting to say when He said, feed on My flesh and drink My blood? Now for us today, when we think about this, we say, wait, this is paganism. This is cannibalism. No. It's hard because it's that. But if we, you know, if we look at it and interpret scripture that way, we are not properly interpreting it because we are seeing it from our 21st century lens. What we need to do is to see what Jesus meant from a first century lens or perspective. So why don't we do this right now? I have a small button right here, and it is a time machine button. Okay, so if you would allow me, well, you have no choice, right? I will push this time machine button and we will just see what it meant before. Are you ready? 3, 2, 1. Boom! All right. We go back. Time machine tayo. Okay, nandito na tayo. First century, what did it mean then? Well, first, you know, flesh, in their time, and even in the Old Testament, New Testament, child sacrifice was still practiced. Do you remember Abraham? And Jesus asked him, this famous account,
Some of you have preached this, exhorted this, mentioned this to your children or your victory group. God asked Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac. And in that account, it was not as if Abraham said, "Wait, Jesus, I need to raise the flag because that's a human rights violation. I need to file this case before the United Nations." Abraham didn't say that. Abraham didn't say, wait, this is unconstitutional. God, the Father, creator of heavens and earth, this cannot be. But then Abraham, we all know that Abraham readily obeyed that command, and he was so ready. And yes, it was a pagan practice, but what we're saying was that it was not as if they were oblivious about it. And even in the New Testament, by the first century, sacrifices of flesh and blood were being done in the temple. Remember? So people knew about it. And yes, though it was a pagan practice, again, as we said earlier, it was not as if they were oblivious to it. Now, to add more to that, the people at that time already had scriptures, and their scriptures is what we call our Old Testament today. So their scriptures are already filled with prophetic and poetry books or writings. And the prophetic and poetry writings are filled with metaphors and symbolisms. In fact, Genesis already, in Genesis 9, it already speaks and talks. God himself talks about this metaphor of flesh and blood. And on top of that, John, the gospel writer, again, we're looking at it from the first century lens. John, the gospel writer, was intentional in indicating the who Jesus was talking to in every situation, in every miracle, and in every teaching. And in this specific teaching, we find in verse 59 that the gospel writer captured it. He made an emphasis that this hard, controversial teaching was done in the synagogue, and more importantly, at Capernaum. Why was Capernaum very important? Because if there are two areas where Jesus had the top positive popularity rating, it would be in Capernaum and in Bethany. Mga kapatid, Capernaum and Bethany would be where the groupies of Jesus Christ were situated, and that's where they live. The Capernaum was the territory of Peter and Andrew. Sobrang siga ni Peter and Andrew doon, to the point that kayang-kaya ni Pedro patirahin ang Panginoong Heso Kristo sa bahay ng kanyang mother-in-law. Can you imagine that? So, and there was, Jesus was so popular there because teritoryo yun. You know that principle na teritoryo nila yun? Yung, may pelikula eh. Yung title ng pelikula, "Sayo ang tundo, akin ang Cavite." Parang ganun yun. Teritoryo ni Jesus, Capernaum and Bethany. In Bethany, that's where Jesus lived every time he would go to the area of Jerusalem because that's where his good friends, Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, lived as well. So I'm saying all these to say that in Capernaum and even in Bethany, because Jesus was so popular there and they loved him there, people understood the teachings of Jesus. It was well accepted and adhered to. Therefore, I'll go back to our 21st century now. Boom! All right. Therefore, nakabalik na tayo, 2022. Therefore, this was a hard teaching not because of its metaphor. This was a hard teaching for the disciples because of its actual meaning. In Genesis 9, God already mentioned that flesh and blood meant the totality of a person, everything of a person
So when Jesus said, you have to feed on my flesh and my blood, drink my blood, he meant that in order for us to live, you need to take everything of me. Everything of me. My will, my word, and my ways. So what does believing in Jesus mean now? Believing in Jesus is accepting and adhering to his will, word, and ways. No wonder it was so hard, because it meant that everything that Jesus said is something that we would ingest so that we can live. Tayo naman kaya ang gumamit ng food illustration, hindi lang si Jesus. If we were to use a food illustration, Jesus was not saying that, eat me. It's not like a buffet. We're in buffet setup kind of feast, wherein we can just choose the things that we like and eat all of it. Eat all you can, or all you can eat, or tawag natin, only. We cannot do that. Imagine, it's not like the buffet food setup wherein dito lang ako. Ayoko na yung part na yon. Dito lang ako magfo-focus. I'll have tons of this. No, imagine, it's like our Lord and Savior looking at us as children, and he is serving us food, and we have to take in everything of it. Not just the blessings, but even the suffering. It means that it's not just about me, myself, and I, my dreams, my aspirations, my faith goals for 2022, my new year, new you goals for 2022. No, no, no. It's about others as well. In fact, Jesus said it himself. If you love me, you have to love others. Because by that, people will know that you are my disciples. It's not just about making life easy. But the God's word says in Hebrews, that as Christians, we are to carry one another's burden. It's not just about what I want, what we want, but about God's purposes and about God's work. We want a better year. It's not just the top five goals that we talked about earlier. We want to grow in the different facets of our lives. Life. Well, I have this rubber band principle. We all know that for the rubber band to function effectively, it has to grow or expand. So let's say I want to, you know, keep my Bible closed by using this rubber band. So I will use this. So the rubber band needs to grow. It has to be stretched. It has to feel that tension even to the point of breaking. This also means that for us to grow this year, for us to have a better year this year, we need to be stretched. We need to feel tension, and yes, sometimes even to the point of breaking. It means that we have to be stretched to love others. Not just those whom we find easy to love, but even those whom we're telling ourselves, my goodness, di ko kayang mahalin yan. It means that we have to forgive, even if we don't feel like it. And we need to feel that tension. And yes, sometimes even to the point of what? Of breaking. We have to be stretched in generosity. And it means that not just our budget will be stretched, but it also means that we will be inconvenienced. It will be uncomfortable for us because there will be sacrifices to generosity. It will affect our budgets. And we need to feel that tension to grow for us to have a better year. So it's not just, you know, a church habit, a spiritual activity that we just do for the heck of it, but it is a declaration of what we have been talking about, that we are ingesting everything of Jesus. Now, the passage ends before shifting. This is fascinating. Into another narrative. The passage ends by giving us another implication, the reward of believing in Jesus Christ. You know, is it just favor and blessings? No, not really. In fact, it was Peter who answered it. And allow me just to read it, starting with verse 66. After this, many disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" Now Simon Peter, the groupie of Jesus Christ, answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed." And after that he said, "And have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." Because of that answer, I would surmise that if Peter at that moment would be asked, "What is your top 2022 new year, new goal, Peter?" I think this would be his answer. Before finances, before wellness, before, you know, having a cool makeover for his workspace and for him, his fashion makeover, the first answer and possibly the only answer of Peter was, "New year, new you." It's this, the reward of believing. It's knowing and experiencing Jesus as God. This is the word of the Lord. Jesus as God, experiencing Him, knowing Him in blessings and suffering, in opportunities, in challenges, in health, in sickness, in life, and in death. Lord, we thank you for your word. We pray that your word will dwell richly in us and may it bear fruit and may we abide in it that we may live. Help us, God, the Holy Spirit, to live this word out, taking in, ingesting everything of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. All these things we declare in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. You can visit victory.org.ph to find a church, join a Victory group, and give online. Thank you for partnering with us in discipling the city, the nation, and the world through your generosity. For more messages like this, you can subscribe to this podcast through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you listen to podcasts.